Today on The Grave Talks, Elementals, a conversation with Steph Mina Brady. The Earth and nature seem to have magnificent powers. What if what we write off as Mother Nature simply doing its job is something much more complex? Something involving beings that we can neither see nor fully understand. What if these beings loathe us and are destructive ways of caring for the Earth? Today we discuss the world of elementals with paranormal investigator Steph Mina Brady on The Grave Talks.
I was probably like 4 or 5 when I would see angels like go by the window or be in the room. And then as I grew up, I kind of lost that. But then in college, I had a boyfriend that died. And for the first 3 nights after he died, there was an opaque white mist in the shape of a person in front of my bed. And every time I looked to try to get up, he would block my way. And my roommate woke up and saw it. But the day of the funeral, that was the last day I ever saw him. So that piqued my interest.
Yeah, I would think so. Let's go back to the angels that you were talking about. Number one, right. Defining it as an angel. How did you get there? Tell me in depth. If somebody said, what did you see? What was that experience like other than just I saw angels? Explain it to me.
Yeah, I was just sitting in bed looking out the window. Couldn't sleep. It was night. And just looking out the windows. And I'd see that they would be like divine creatures with wings floating by.
Almost like you'd see in a painting or something?
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Exactly. It's just beautiful and divine and glowing all over.
So it was very obvious to you what it was. It wasn't you just assigning that label to something that you didn't know what it was. It was clear as day, like, this is what I've seen in books and paintings and all that.
Yeah, it was definitely clear as day, without a doubt. We did a church and everything. I mean, I grew up Catholic. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of angels in there. So, you know, pictured in the Catholic Church. So, yeah, I definitely knew what they were.
How old were you when these experiences were happening?
It was about 4 or 5.
And when you were seeing these, did these sightings continue on as you got older? Or was it mainly in that 4 to 5 window?
They didn't. You know, the way people say is that the kids are told, no, you didn't see that. And they lose that over time. All kids are born with the ability to see. Mm-hmm. And they do see spirits and angels and everything. But as they get older, people tell them that, no, you're not seeing it. You're just seeing things. And so they gradually start to believe it and lose the ability. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened to me, to be honest.
Why? I mean, when you look back on this and you recall this, I'm assuming, you know, pretty clearly, why do you think you were seeing the angels going past your window? Was there something going on in your house at the time? Are they just always there? I mean, explain to me that.
They were just always there at night.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if there was anything special going on in the household at all. It was, I daydreamed a lot. I thought a lot. You know, I played with myself a lot. I was a loner. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would do, would stare out the window in the dark. And I would just see them floating by or, you know, so.
Did they, in terms of size of what you were seeing out your window, were they like the size of human beings or were they smaller, larger?
They were smaller. They were smaller, about half the size.
Really?
From what I remember.
Did you ever talk to anybody about it? Did you ever talk to your parents or friends or anything?
I did talk to my parents, and they said, no, you got a great imagination. You're just seeing things.
So it was just dismissed.
It was just after a while, you just kept it to yourself.
As you got older and you looked back on that experience, was there times where you too believed, you know, it was just childhood imagination?
No, I never believed that.
No?
I always believed it was, no.
Okay.
I always believed it was angels, without a doubt.
So there was no doubt as you got older that, yes, in fact, you were seeing it. You just didn't take what other people were telling you where they were trying to dismiss it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
There's no doubt because now, I'm intuitive. I know things. I did shut it down for a while, you know, which I'm finding it harder to get back then. But, I know I have gifts, mm-hmm. without a doubt. I think everybody has gifts, quite honestly. They just have to work at it.
Sure. Tell me about, so you had that experience very young age, you go through teenage years, and did anything else happen in childhood where you were sensitive or that you look back on? And we'll get, we're coming to working towards this situation, what happened to your boyfriend. But between those windows, was there other experiences for you?
Not really. That was just about it from what I remember.
So you had it kind of in your lexicon of, I've had an experience already. I was very young, but I remember it happening and I believe it happened. So
exactly. It's instilled in my mind forever.
So when your boyfriend tragically passes, tell me that story. What happened? How did you get the news? And then how did this experience occur with the mist?
Well, I knew I had a feeling something was going to happen. In fact, I was supposed to go out with him and be on the back of the bike, but I backed out and I told him to wear his helmet, and he went off not wearing it. And evidently a truck ran him over, and motorcycle truck crash. I heard, because unbeknownst to me, he had a fiance.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. And she wanted me to come over. She told me about it and wanted me to come over and sit with the family. Why? I had no idea. That I did, and in fact, she wanted me to be there when they pulled the plug. That I wouldn't do. But they did end up pulling the plug 10 days later, and that's when I started seeing this white mist for 3 days. And the rule of thumb, one of the rule of thumbs is that you have 3 days to go to the light, and then it disappears. And then you become what they call an earthbound spirit or a ghost.
Okay.
Wandering around.
And I want to talk about that in a moment, but tell me more about where were you when you saw the mist? What was the environment? What was the setting? What were you feeling as you had those experiences?
I was in bed, and the first night I just woke up and to get a drink of water and sat up, and there it was right in front of me. And then I'd try and get up like anybody would and turn on the light, and it would block my way. Like I said, my roommate woke up the second night and saw it. It was always dark. It was always after midnight, and I would always wake up and see it there blocking my way. I don't know if he had a message to tell me or if he just wanted to send his love before he went or what it was. I just know he was there for 3 nights, and like I said, the day of the funeral, that was it. That was the last time I ever saw him. Now I've talked to psychics that said he's still with me, but I don't know.
Did you know that it was him when you saw the mist?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
How so? How did you know that it was him?
It's just a feeling. It's just, honest to God, just a feeling, intuitive feeling. I just knew. There was no doubt in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no doubt. I could feel, it's the energy. I could feel the energy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And people, you know, living people give off a certain energy. Sometimes, you know, depending on your level of sensitivity, you could be blindfolded and you could have people walk in and out of the room and you could almost identify who they are just by that energy.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Everything gives off energies. The demonics give off energies. The earthbound give off energies. Even the aliens give off energies. And actually, I'm working with an energy teacher now that you can sit in your own house and bring that energy over to you and get rid of it in your own house. And it actually has been working. It's incredible.
And we can talk about that too in just a moment.
Right.
I want to ask about when you are in that situation and you are encountering the energy of your boyfriend who died. You know his energy from when he was alive. Does it feel the same? Is there something different about it when someone has passed? Is there anything different about it? Stronger, less, you know, anything? Or is it just...
It's less.
Okay.
It's less, definitely. Because I think, and again, what I've been told is that once you cross over, you're not as strong as you can be. You have to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like anything else. You work for elevating to different levels, to... learning how to, just like you do here, you know, learning how to walk, learning how to run. You do the same thing in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So you work at your life. You bring you're the same personality when you die as when you were alive. I mean, if you're, you know, a mean old cuss, you're going to be mean old cuss. You carry your personality and your free will over with you.
How did you walk away from that experience after 3 days of seeing this mist in your home, knowing it was your ex-boyfriend or your deceased boyfriend? What,
right,
when you walked away from that, when that stopped, what was going through your mind?
It actually calmed me because it convinced me that there was an afterlife, whereas before I wasn't sure.
Okay.
I mean, I was like, a lot of people were scared of death then. So it did, it calmed my nerves. It told me that there was an afterlife and that he was, and that he was okay. You know, that's how I felt, that he was okay.
Did you share that you felt you were having these visits with his fiance that you found out after the fact was there?
I know, I didn't share it at all.
Okay.
No, I didn't think it would go over very well.
Sure. That might cause a little friction. Yeah, I mean,
exactly. I wasn't very welcome in the house. I don't know why she invited me, but I was not welcome in that house. It was clear.
I mean, that's an interesting thing. I mean, you're getting the visits from your boyfriend, and then after the fact that he passes, you find out there's another person there. How did that affect, I mean, how you felt about the situation of him visiting you? I mean, there had to have been some hurt there, I would think, of, I mean, unless you had been aware.
There was a lot of hurt, but I think the feelings were stronger on his end than mine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was in love and I wasn't, so there really wasn't a lot of hurt, a lot of shock.
Okay.
Definitely a lot of shock.
Yeah.
And a lot of wonderment. I still to this day don't know why she wanted me there.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it boggled my mind.
So you have the experience of your boyfriend visiting you after his passing. You get the confirmation,
right,
that there's something more in this world and there is an afterlife. Where do you take it from there? Do you have more experiences after that, prior to getting more into investigative work? Or where does life take you at that point?
Life took me to raising three boys, quite honestly, for 30 years.
Okay.
And then after that, last one left the nest. I decided it was my time to do my passions. I became a paranormal investigator. I, you know, got tattoos. I got a convertible. I just started doing everything I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And two of my passions were the paranormal and helping people. So it's great because I get to combine those two.
How did you begin going into the world of paranormal investigation?
I got with a group. I actually, and I, they trained me basically for about a year or two. I stayed with them and then I decided it was time to grow. So I started my own group. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask, what was it like, you know, entering that world of paranormal investigation, having had experiences, you know, 30 years prior, but you know, you're a
right,
whole new person 30 years later, you know, things are obviously quite different in your life. You know, what's your mindset going into this? Obviously there's interest and there's passion there, but this is a whole new thing to take on. So how are you going into it and learning and what are you experiencing as you enter that world?
I went into it with excitement, with adrenaline, quite frankly. I wanted to help the spirits cross over, quite frankly. It's something I've always wanted to do. I feel bad that we're just cleansing them at some point and sending them out in the world, and I don't know where they're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of them, I believe a lot of them really want to go cross over, and they don't have any means to do it. So people have to help them cross over because they're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, I mean, there's many reasons why they're stuck. They could have died angry. They could have died fast. They don't know they're dead, so just wandering around. They're attached to the land or people or whatnot. So there's a variety of reasons why they're stuck, but a lot of them do want to cross over.
Did you have any intuition, any feelings that really solidified this feeling, this passion of wanting to help spirits cross over? Or was this something that you just kind of had taken on from, you know, learning and reading about paranormal investigations and people that help spirits cross over? How did that speak to you in such a strong way?
It came from my heart. It was a passion. You know, I felt horrible that, you know, I put myself in their feet. Is what I did, in their shoes. And I just felt, like I said, I felt horrible. We were just cleansing them out of the house. with no help, because they're people. They deserve respect, help, and compassion as much as my clients do.
Tell me how you learned and realized that you're an intuitive and that you are sensitive to these things beyond the experiences that you had initially when you were younger.
Things just came to me, and they came true. For instance, I had a case where we were trying to determine what it was, and it came to me, just elemental dwarf. And when I went in there and asked him, we had our REM pods, our sound-making machines, about five of them on the ground. He just went buck wild, setting every one of them off in succession. That was the way he communicated with us, was by those devices. He wouldn't EVP. He wouldn't do anything but those devices. So that's one instance. And I know the night that I went out at 2 a.m., I was sitting in my car, and I found it dead. There was no reason for the battery to be drained, but it was completely drained, waiting for AAA, and all of a sudden, the headlights started flashing on and off the radio. The whole panel started going on and off and honking, and I think it was his way of telling me, you know, don't come back, mm-hmm. quite frankly. So, but I did come back. I've actually been working on that case for about a year and a half right now. Elementals, I'm finding, they're extremely hard to get out. My thought is that they built that house directly on his house, and he's, quite frankly, one ticked off little dude. He didn't want to go.
Explain to the audience, in your words, an elemental, and you described it as an elemental dwarf. What exactly is that for one who doesn't understand that?
They have, the elementals have groups. Like, there's elementals of the air, fairies. Elementals of the water, like nymphs. Elemental, and this is the elemental of the earth, a dwarf is, along with trolls and, you know, there's just a variety of them, hobbits. But the dwarf is the one that's in the house right now. And I really honestly didn't even know that the dwarves existed until I looked it up afterwards. And they have their hierarchies, like we do. They have their kings and their kingdoms and, soldiers and everything like that. And they're just put there to take care of the earth. That's their passion, is to take care of the earth.
Are these, are they things that people, obviously you've had an ability to sense them. Are these things that appear as spirits or ghosts almost to the living, where they would be confused for that because they come and they go?
Okay. Yeah. In fact, the lady that lives there actually saw a short person run by really fast in a pilgrim's outfit. So, you know, you do see evidence of them occasionally. A lot of people I know have seen fairies.
Are these entities, because we talk about all different things where you have, you know, spirits of the living that were once here, were people. We have stories of angels. We have stories of demonic things that never really did walk the earth,
right. But
are there. Are these elementals, are they in a category of things that were never living as being a human being? Are they something separate from all of those other categories?
Definitely. In fact, they were supposedly created when the angels were created, so they've been here for thousands of years. And yeah, they are spirits. They're not humans at all.
When you're dealing with something like that, are you dealing with something with good intent, with negative intent, with just their own intent of just kind of their individual goals or what they want to do? Because a lot of times we kind of assign direction to a spirit or some sort of entity that one is dealing with. What are you dealing with when you're dealing with an elemental, or does it really depend on the one that you're dealing with?
It depends on the one that I'm dealing with. Like everything, and everything, there's good and there's evil. So in the elemental world, there is good and evil. And so I have to deal with it case by case as an individual. Mm-hmm. And he turns out to not be evil. He's just extremely mad. He every night for the last, I think, 8 years almost now, he'll come and prod him and jump on the bed and pull their hair all night long just to keep him from sleeping. I don't think they've had a good night's sleep in eight years. But they're not going to leave.
And this is your client that's experiencing these things?
Right, exactly.
So tell me.
I've called in everybody.
Tell me how this case begins. How do you initiate, or how does the communication get initiated with you? And then how do you eventually come to the conclusion that this is what is haunting or plaguing this home?
Well, they call me on the phone. I'm very visible on Yelp or Google, and of course my website. So, and I was the only one they said that would take the case, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And I had never even thought, I'd never even dealt with an elemental, never even thought of it. Like I say, it just came to me. You know, by process of elimination, we eliminated the demonic, the spirits, and that just came to me. And it just was cemented. I knew what it was. And so we've tried appeasing it with offerings. It has taken the offerings. It's crazy. We've had shamans in. We have everything done. I've done demonic cleanses every day in a row for 2 weeks. That's the only thing that worked, but it only worked for a week. So I'm kind of, you know, with this, I've got somebody who wants to come over and help me with it, somebody on the Travel Channel. But with the pandemic going on, we have to wait.
Mm-hmm. How do you go about explaining to the homeowner and the family? Because they're probably thinking ghost of some sort. How do you go about explaining exactly what this is in terms that they're going to understand and not say, get the hell out of my house?
Exactly. You're crazy.
Yeah.
I actually got an article and showed them that they do. This type of entity does bother them. They're mischievous when people are sleeping. And it just, it hit every point with them. So they knew. They believed me. Plus, in addition to the vision that she'd seen run by her.
So the sighting of this short person, essentially, was seen by the homeowner?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What sort of evidence did you come across in your investigative work to narrow this down beyond you saying, you know, you just knew you had this feeling? Tell me more about what pieces of evidence drew you to that conclusion?
The fact that he took some of the offerings that we gave.
Tell me about that. Tell me about the offering.
We planted a fig tree for it. We put some beer there, some chocolate, some fruit. Some of the chocolate was gone and a beer was open and empty. And they're in a locked backyard, so it's not very possible that someone would come in there and do that. So I communicate with it. Like I said, it won't do EVPs and it won't be sighted by me on any of my video cameras. Mm-hmm. But it will communicate through the sound machines that I have, yes or no questions. And through that, I've gotten evidence, you know, just very affirmative from him.
What sort of evidence?
So, like I said, when I asked him if he was a dwarf, when I asked him if he was mad, when I asked him if he was going to leave, would he please leave? When I asked if the house was built on his house, mm-hmm. the answer was affirmative. I asked if he was mad, it was affirmative. So he communicates a lot on the REM pods.
It's interesting because these elementals, I mean, it sounds like they almost have their own society, if you will, where they're functioning and doing things.
They do.
Do they, are they on a different plane and that kind of overlaps ours, a different frequency or something? And that's why we don't typically.
A dimension, if you will.
Okay, yeah.
You know, definitely on a different dimension. You know, I've also had psychics that have come through and said, yeah, it is an elemental. Shaman came through and said, yeah, it is an elemental. So things like that, you know, were just kind of cemented it for me.
With something like that, that you and the homeowners, they're getting almost kind of glimpses of this thing that's in a different dimension. And this is just an opinion-based question, but on the other side, on the flip side of that, how are they perceiving us and why are they mad that we're there? Are they just getting glimpses of us over on that side as well? Or are we full-fledged kind of invading their space?
We're full-fledged kind of invading their space. Their job is like for the earth elementals to take care of the earth.
Okay.
And we as you know, culture, we don't take care of the earth very well. You know, we, you know, they're digging up for houses, and that's on their houses, on their domain, if you will. And just they appreciate it. They get very irate at that. They don't think we take care of anything on earth.
What does, to say, you know, take care of the earth, that's a fairly generic statement, but
yeah.
As an elemental, how do they go about doing that?
You know, that's a good question. And it's a question I don't know, quite frankly. I'm just assuming they guard it, they tender it, the plants, you know, the landscape, the grass, the flowers, everything, and they try and make sure that everything is growing, because the plants have energy too, as well as the rocks. I mean, everything has energy, and they're taking care of all that. And it would make it. Go ahead.
Is it something that, you know, we sometimes, you know, we can look at nature. We, I mean, you plant a garden, and you can sometimes just be amazed by how the different plants and different species of plants and such can interact with one another, and that, you know, the sunflower heads will turn one way or this way, and somehow this pollinated with that over here. And of course there's bees and there's wind and there's all the elements of the earth that we can understand in theory how these things go from point A to point B. But it is, when you look at some of these things, fairly amazing how those things work. And to us, on as humans, we look at it and go, that's either a lot of luck as far as all of this is kind of working together, or is there, are they doing that? Are they kind of the unseen force that kind of helps some of these things that, you know, get from point A to point B that we just look at as, well, it's wind, it's bees, it's this or that. Is there something else there that's kind of helping guide pieces of nature together to do what nature does?
They are, definitely.
Okay.
With their energy, they're tending the earth pretty much. That's their job, is to take care of the earth.
Okay.
And they take it very seriously. So, like I say, they, as a culture, they don't like us at all.
Do they do things to try and rid people out of their, or scare people out of their homes? Do they go to great lengths to remove people from situations or their settings? I mean, what do they do? What depths do they go to?
They do. Well, for instance, the dwarves and the gnomes and all of them, their technique is like they're doing to my clients. They bother when they're sleeping. They don't let them sleep. They're mischievous in the way that they do this.
Mm-hmm.
But they're constant. Extremely constant. And they don't give up. Absolutely don't give up. I mean, they work very hard to get my clients out of this house. But my clients put their feet down and won't do it. They didn't even remodel the whole house with them. And the energy did take up.
Have you ever seen a situation where they, obviously that would cause mental harm with constantly being tormented by something.
Yeah.
Do they ever do anything that would cause physical harm to the living?
I don't think they do. No, not that I've heard of. There's very little out there on the elementals, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of research and there's very little out there on them.
I think that's kind of why I'm stuck on it, because I've heard bits and pieces here over the years of these things, but I don't think I've ever had a real good in-depth discussion about it. And it's always been fascinating to me, because the first time you hear about this concept, you're kind of like, well, that one's a little out there, even though you've heard so many stories that are all a little out there. But it pops up, and there seems to be, you know, a resounding theme with these stories in all different places throughout the world, and it makes you go, well, what is this? There's something to this. I can't just say that people aren't having these experiences. So that's what I'm finding really interesting, is someone who has done some research on it and is investigating it. I'm finding it very fascinating. Do you think elementals can...
I even had a dream with him.
Really?
I even had a dream with him. I mean, it was like almost a visitation. I could smell it. It was that real. And I'm convinced it was a visitation. It's easier for spirits and elemental types to come to you in a dream It's far easier for them to do that. So I believe he came to me in a dream.
Are elementals ever confused for dark or demonic spirits because of their intent that seems kind of mischievous and almost with negative intent towards the living?
Yes, definitely. In fact, there are evil elementals as well. And some people think all elementals are demonic. I got an exorcist friend who's convinced that all elementals are demonic.
Really?
So it's really? Yeah, it's up there. It's up there for discussion, without a doubt.
That wraps up part one of our conversation with Steph Mina Brady. In part two, are elementals ever confused for dark, demonic spirits? Do elementals ever die, or are they a constant with the earth? Why is it that spirits seem to only have 3 days to go into the light after one passes? Why is it that some spirits refuse to cross over? And how does Steph handle removing a demonic spirit from a home? All of that and more in part two of our conversation. To hear it, become a Gravekeeper. That's a supporter of our program. Sign up at patreon.com/thegravetalks or go to our website, thegravetalks.com, and click become a Gravekeeper. $5 a month gets you access to all of our episodes of the program. Hundreds and hundreds of interviews that you can binge away on in their entirety, as well as advanced episodes of the show released to you months before they're released to the public. Our complete archive of episodes, it's all there for you, and it's only $5 a month. That's what supports our program and keeps us on the air. Again, patreon.com/thegravetalks to support us and keep the show going. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.